The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
Hello, welcome to the final hooter, the loverugbyleague.com podcast. Thanks very much to Radio General for letting us use the studios. Hi, Parky, all right?
I am. How are you?
You're happy?
I am.
Enjoy your trip to Donny.
Oh, really? I've loved my trip to Donny. Keatmoat Stadium, as much tea as one could drink, and biscuits as well to go with it.
Nice time down there, then, or over there on the big hill.
Yeah, it was good trip as well. Made some good time. Great time going home. And what's more, I got to commentate on the Our League app.
There you go. Nice little plug for the Our League app as a streamlined League One rugby league.
To be fair as well, if you're a supporter of a Championship or League One club, if you sign up for that,
The clubs need all the publicity and promotion.
Well, not just that, but they can actually gain some money because of it. Yes. So it's all going to be included in the way that they look at, or potentially included in the way they look at distribution of monies from next season onwards.
Oh, interesting. Anyhow, away from all that, the Civil War is done and dusted.
Yeah, we know what we've got. We've got loop fixtures in Super League.
Don't go on about that.
No, I'm just mentioning it. So it's a 12-team
Super League. Everybody.
12-team Super League, 5-team playoff. One will definitely get relegated at the end of every season. And
can we safely say the Civil War's ended?
I think the ceasefire has been called for now.
Ceasefire.
Yeah, let's have a ceasefire and let's see where we go over these next 3 years.
I've still got a feeling Super League clubs are going to try and dominate things and how the games run rather than the RFL.
Let's be honest, this is like Brexit. Come on, just put it to one side. Let's crack on.
Yes.
That's what we need to do.
On the field, we know who's in the top four. Kind of confirmed a few weeks ago, wasn't it? We just didn't know what order it was going to be, but we now know with one game of the Super 8 remaining. Warrington take on Saints, Wigan take on Cass. Ooh, who's going to get to Old Trafford out of them two?
I still fancy a St Helens and Wigan final, mate.
Yeah.
Because
you know for the fact Wigan will patch up Sean O'Loughlin, Captain Marvel, get him out there.
Yeah.
Captain Inspiration for them and they'll probably beat Saints. Although, it's been confirmed Benny Barber, worst kept secret in rugby league, by the way. We knew weeks ago he was going. Benny Barber, it's been confirmed he's definitely going Australia. And I suppose now he'll actually concentrate on wanting to play because he's done nothing for the Saints over the last couple of weeks, hasn't he?
I liked how you checked your voice then because he was going to say something else, weren't you?
It's a family show, so I can't.
His form's been disappointing, shall we put it that way, over the last few weeks. So it's nice to see a little bit of a semblance of form coming back. It just shows that class is permanent, I suppose.
And we've still got another boxload of league leader shields to give away this year. So St Helens have got one.
Yeah.
Still up in the air, he's going to get the championship one. We don't know yet.
And, shield? Championship shield. Yeah. So it's either going to be between Featherstone and Lee.
Yes.
We've known that since they split.
Yeah, but we don't know who's going to win it. That's what I'm saying.
The league leader's shield actually went to Toronto, so they've already got
one. Okay, I do apologise.
Yeah, they've already got one.
Toronto have got one, and York got the hands on the final one that was up for grabs.
They did, and we've seen a picture that where we were questioning whether or not the bowl that used to be presented to
the
Division 2.
The old championship trophy is now being given to League One, we noticed.
Yeah, I notice it's being carried there by a few York players.
That fruit bowl looks very glamorous.
It does. I like that as a trophy.
Well, with that in mind, and the fact that Super League have got their own spectacular trophy to give out at Old Trafford, why don't we dig out the old Rugby League Championship trophy and give that one to the Championship guys?
I think that
tremendous looking trophy.
Oh, it's belting, isn't it?
Yes.
Kind of describe what we think it looks like. It's like, well, it is. It's like, I think you could describe
it's like the World Cup of Rugby League. No, it's not.
It's very ornate, isn't it?
Yeah. It's a grand-looking trophy.
Grand old trophy. And I think that it's currently housed by Wigan because they were the last team
to
win
it,
weren't they?
They won't give it back.
Maybe they could get a cast of it done. Maybe we could. Shall we save that up?
We'll offer them a tray of meat pies for the exchange of the old trophy.
Nah, you've got to include a few meat and potatoes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
maybe
even a couple of steak and onion ones, or even cheese and onion. You want to give him a good selection. Maybe that way we'll be able to secure it.
Keeping you up to date with everything rugby league. This is the final hooter on Radio General.
Right then, pies and trophy swaps aside. Civil War looks like there's a ceasefire.
Yeah. Did you like that description?
They announced a restructure of Super League the next season. At League One and the Championship have had their restructure as well, haven't they?
Yeah, they've had a bit of a chat about it. And what they've come up with is a 14-team championship. So right. Currently it's 12.
Okay.
So as a result, we've got a complicated playoff system. Complicated
playoff systems go hand in hand with rugby league.
Yeah, it's never too far away, is it, be honest? So what we'll have next season is a 14-team championship, a top five playoff. The winner of that is promoted into Super League, and the bottom two of that division are relegated into League One.
Totally agree with the restructure of the championship. I just thought the decision was made a bit too late in the season. Maybe the restructure for League One into the Championship should have been kept for the start of next season.
To be honest, I would have only made these changes for the end of next season.
Yeah, when the season's finished.
Yeah. Or at least for... So it's next season is the last of the structure, they're playing for it, and then everybody knows where they're going to be.
Listen, Swinton and Rochdale are over the moon because they've got a second chance, haven't they?
Well, they have. And, you know, at the moment, well, at least one of those clubs is definitely going to be playing Championship next season.
Yes.
And the other one has a chance. They've got a reprieve. I mean, I don't know whether they'll end up with a shield as well. That hasn't been confirmed by anybody just yet.
They've got a box load to get rid of, so I'm sure they will do.
League One, by the way, being reduced to 12 clubs next season.
Yes.
This is the only division, by the way, that'll just play a straightforward home and away format.
All right, okay.
So there's no summer bash. There's nothing like that to contend with where there is in the Championship. And what they have there is the top team will get promoted from League One, and they'll then have a five-team playoff for the next five teams.
I'm confused.
Running similar to how the top five playoff works and how the top five playoff in the Championship will work.
So there's going to be plenty of rugby league fans confused about what's going on.
What that does mean, though, is that we've got three different structures to the divisions again, haven't we?
We have, yeah.
They'll be bringing back bonus points next.
Oh, I remember them. I used to like them.
They were ace, actually. I really enjoyed the bonus point system. I always remember...
What year was the bonus point knocking about?
It was definitely around in 2010.
Which, funnily enough... It's the last time York had the hands on a trophy before the League Leaders' Shield last weekend.
Shock horror, we've not just thrown this together.
No.
We've given it a bit of thought. There's at least half an hour gone into this.
Had an interesting story within Rugby League, York. It's good to see that they're on the rise.
Well,
can they maintain it, though?
You and I both know that if we had any money, we'd be chucking it into York.
I would.
Because I have picked them out years. I've been a long advocate of York pushing forward to
Super League. They tick the box, don't they? They're a city. Yeah. The RFL like city clubs.
They're not far away from the Heartlands.
They play the game in the schools. They've got some top amateur clubs. So all the foundations are there. They just need to get it right, don't they?
They do.
And it looks like at the minute it's going right.
Look at some of the crowds they're getting. 3,200 on the weekend against Whitehaven. That's just fantastic, isn't it?
What a turnaround for York. But yeah, 8 years ago was the last time they got the hands on the trophy. So guess what? 2010 is our retro rugby league year on the final hooter tonight.
I always look forward to these. So 2010, what was happening?
It was the 15th season of Super League.
15 seasons?
Yeah, we had 15. Never last. Never last, will it? Never last.
Never last.
Again, we had a complicated playoff system.
Go on. Are you going to try and explain this playoff system?
No, it's too complicated.
It was a top eight, wasn't it, I think?
It was a top eight, yeah.
That's that, and it does just look so confusing when it's been put down like that.
We had a top eight. Wigan were top of the pile after 27 rounds, 14 teams in the league in this particular season. It was a top eight of Wigan first, St. Helens second, Warrington third, Leeds were in fourth, Huddersfield fifth, Hull FC were sixth, Hull KR were seventh, Crusaders Rugby League were eighth.
Oh, so Crusaders snuck into it.
Yeah, it was the first year they swapped Bridgend for Wrexham.
Great
attendance on the first game, just over 10,000.
I remember that. It was against Leeds, wasn't it?
It was.
Snow on the pitch as well, if I remember rightly.
Bottom of the pile after the 27 rounds were Catalans.
Really?
Yes.
So they should have been relegated.
Should have been relegated, but we had no promotion and relegation because we were in the second year of licensing.
Oh, it's licensing. So, oh, my God. So, this is how Widnes got promoted in the first place through licensing.
Catalans and Harlequins were safe.
Lucky devils.
Lucky, weren't they?
Lucky devils.
Although Harlequins did eventually drop through the trapdoor. But, yeah, the playoffs were confusing, man. This is a nightmare.
I'm just looking at the diagram, and it's just different coloured lines everywhere.
So what we had in the first round of the playoffs, we had two qualifying playoff games
mm-hmm.
and two elimination games.
Ooh, this seems really confusing already. You've only just opened your mouth.
Exactly.
Okay.
So the losers of the qualifying games in games 1 and 2 went into the playoff semi-finals.
Okay.
And the winners went into the qualifying semi-finals. So Wigan were defeated by Leeds.
Yeah.
Warrington were defeated by St Helens. So it meant Leeds went into the qualifying game, instead of game 2 semi-final. St Helens went into qualifying semi-final 1. In the elimination, Crusaders were knocked out by Huddersfield. Hull Kingston Rovers knocked out Hull. So they moved forward into the playoff semi-finals. Wigan defeated Hull Kingston Rovers. Huddersfield defeated Warrington. And then in the qualifying semi-finals...
Was that the one where Nathan Brown was like going as if he was like riding a horse down
the touchline?
I think
it was, yeah.
It might have been, mightn't it?
Yeah. Where's Nathan Brown these days?
Oh, he's back in Australia, isn't he?
That's where they all go, isn't it? Qualifying semi-finals saw St Helens defeat Huddersfield. And get this, Leeds played Wigan again.
I'm confused. Does anybody understand what Adrian's just said over the last 2 minutes?
So Wigan defeated Leeds, and in the grand final, Wigan defeated St Helens. Have you got it?
Yeah, I've got it.
Yeah.
I've got it.
Yeah.
That explains everything. It's as clear as mud. Does anybody know? Can anybody reveal just what it was? I'm confused.
At least with next year, the top fives, it's a straightforward affair, isn't it?
Well, I suppose so. But that could have been made simpler. That could have just been top four, couldn't it?
Yeah.
And everybody would have been happy, I suppose.
Without a doubt.
Shall I take up the tale of the tape in the championship?
Yes, go on.
So, this was a championship that contained 11 clubs. The teams that were relegated were Whitehaven and Keighley. And as we mentioned, there was no promotion, but it did see a really exciting playoff system. So at this stage, Lee Centurions are make a playoff every year.
Was it as confusing as the Super League one?
It was slightly confusing.
All right, okay. Yeah.
So Lee Centurions were used to making playoffs at this sort of stage. They got there every season, but usually lost out to either Sheffield or Featherstone. It was Sheffield's turn to win in this one. Then in the other elimination semi-final, you saw Barrow defeat Widnes Vikings 38-0. In the qualifying semi-final, we saw Featherstone Rovers defeat Halifax to march straight on into the final. And we saw an elimination semi-final that saw Sheffield defeat Barrow. And then in the major semi-final, as it was called, so this was the one to actually get into the grand final, it was Halifax defeating Sheffield. And then we saw a real high-quality grand final.
All right.
Which saw Halifax win in extra time, 23-22. After about 60 minutes, it looked like Featherstone were on course for it. And then there was a fire alarm over at the Halliwell Jones and they had to evacuate the stadium,
yes,
didn't they?
Or
evacuate the stand. There was people going onto the pitch and everything. It was a long day for us, wasn't it?
That must have been the first two-hour TV game. Like a precursor for it 40 hours now.
And they're like normal now, aren't they? They're the norm, these two-hour TV games. Mm. I'm not getting on your soapbox already, am I? But yeah, what a great game that was. When it eventually all settled down and it was allowed to get back up and running, Halifax snatched it by 23-22.
Back in Super League, by the way, Man of Steel was Pat Richards.
Oh, yes. Of
Young Player of the Year, Sam Tompkins.
Blimey. That is a long time ago now, isn't it?
Coach of the Year was Michael Maguire.
Yeah, probably deserved it at the time, didn't it?
Top tackler was Dallas Johnson.
I don't remember him at all.
Top point scorer was Pat Richards. The meter eater was James Graham. Ooh. Team of the season was Wigan Warriors. The Albert Goldthorpe medal winners, joint medal winners, Pat Richards and Sam Tompkins. Rugby League Writers Player of the Year was Pat Richards. So it was the Pat Richards year that year.
He cleaned up then, didn't he?
He did clean up, yeah.
Pat Richards.
The Challenge Cup was won by Warrington, defeating Leeds 30-6. Lee Braes was the Lance Todd Trophy winner.
Oh, right, okay. Also, just getting back on this championship, there was bonus points for sale, up for grabs.
I'd just like to go up the bonus point. I think they should bring it back.
Dewsbury and Batley both won 8 bonus points, which took them clear of the relegated duo of Whitehaven and Keighley. So yeah, into League One, and this was an interesting old affair as well. You had Gateshead Thunder, who finished bottom of the pile. They actually finished with -2 points because they went into administration during the season. also as well. Hunslet were promoted as champions, only lost two games all season, 8 of 20. And then we had a confusing playoff system in into League One as well.
Right,
there was elimination playoffs involving Blackpool, Panthers and Workington, and Rochdale and South Wales Scorpions actually made the playoffs in this year. So South Wales were eliminated, so too Workington. Into the qualifying semi-finals, Oldham and York played each other. That finished a real high scorer, 41-32, which put Oldham straight into the grand final.
Right.
Okay.
I'm getting the head round it. Go on.
In the other elimination semi-final week,
right,
Blackpool beat Rochdale, and then York, because they'd lost against Oldham, waited to play the winners of that one. So they played Blackpool Panthers, won 38 points to 18, and then were successful in the grand final, 25 points to 4.
So yeah, rugby league has a history of repeating itself, doesn't it? Because fans are confused now.
Yeah, they were confused then as well.
And confused then in 2010.
They also had bonus points as well to chuck into the mix.
Yeah.
So the top winners of the bonus point system that year were Rochdale, South Wales Scorpions and Workington, all ended up with 7.
I noticed they ran a league as well, for like a fair play league.
They did.
Fairfax League.
The Fairfax League.
Whatever happened to that?
And Widnes finished top of that. It was the only division they got anywhere close to finishing in that particular season.
Was it based on discipline?
It was, yes. So it was like, it was all about on about your penalties that you conceded and if you got sin bins and stuff.
Bring it
like
back
that.
Because discipline's gone out the window this year.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's certain things that you think could be done, but it then got took over being sponsored by I think it was a kitchen manufacturer thereafter.
Right, okay.
So a little bit odd. I'm just looking at that York City Knights team. Obviously, they've been very successful this year. Did you realise Wayne Retty had played for them?
No.
He's still going for
strong, isn't he?
Yeah. James Haynes, Chris Thorman had gone there as a player.
Right, okay.
And Steve Lewis were the try scorers. Goal split between Lee Waterman, he kicked 2, and Chris Thorman, who also kicked 2. And Thorman, just for good measure, dropped a goal as well.
Good season all round for York, and they've had a great season this year. Again, the challenge is, can they maintain it?
You know what? I think they will.
I think they will this time. I think they will. Fingers crossed.
We've also not mentioned the Northern Rail Cup as well. You were deliberately avoiding this one.
Deliberately avoiding that one, yeah, because I know Widnes got beaten in the final by Batley.
Batley 25, Widnes Vikings 24. The first final that Batley had appeared in since 1952.
I remember interviewing Carl Harrison after the game. He was over the moon.
I've never seen him happier.
Yeah.
Certainly not in a coaching capacity. He's happy enough now if you see him around rugby league, isn't he?
He's
always willing to have a chat with you and what have you. We also saw another final as well on finals day. Do you remember?
No.
It was the old National Conference.
Warrington Wizards. Huddersfield Underbank.
Huddersfield Underbank Rangers, yeah.
Jono Smith playing for the Wizards.
Jono Smith was the star. Still starring for Barrow.
Still starring for Barrow. Jono Smith.
Oh,
cult hero within rugby league.
He is. He's like a little bowling ball, isn't he? He's amazing. He's an amazing player. I love watching him play because he's all enthusiasm. Pretty good try scoring record. In that game, he scored a try and kicked a drop goal as well. So there he goes. He can do a bit of everything.
Still doing it.
This was also a year that saw a record in the Northern Rail Cup for points conceded, and that went the way of Gateshead Thunder, who lost by 100 points to 4 against the winners, Batley.
Ouch. Was that the year Gateshead went bust?
It was, yeah. They'd gone into administration at the end of the year and had to have a go at reforming again.
See? Just history repeating itself.
Keighley had an issue as well that year.
He did.
They had to set themselves up again. And were basically saved from actually going into administration because a guy actually took them on as a going concern and then created a new company.
What's their financial position at the minute? Because it was only a couple of months ago they were saying you only had 35 quid in the bank.
Oh, I don't know, but it's just going to get tougher, isn't it? Especially if the Super League clubs snaffle all the money like it appears they're going to do.
Like I said, they're on a ceasefire, but I've got a feeling arguments will be carried out through the close season.
Do you think it'll kick off again?
It might do. It's bound to, isn't it?
Do you reckon that they'll break at Christmas, though, and have a game of rugby league in
have
the middle
truce.
Of a pitch somewhere? Yeah.
Have a truce.
Have a truce.
Oh, it's great to look back on a past season. That's 2010. Only 8 years ago, but a lot's happened.
Yeah. And like you said, we seem to be repeating a lot of this history, don't we?
Yeah.
So, yeah, York getting promoted. Hunslet doing well, riding high.
Yeah.
Keeping you up to date with everything rugby league. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
Welcome back to the Final Hooter. Talking Rugby League on Radio General and loverugbyleague.com. Adrian Jackson and David Parkinson calling the shots. We look back on 2010. Let's come forward to this season. All confirmed news in the top four. St. Helens will play Warrington. Wigan will take on Castleford. Toronto could potentially be in the £1 million game with Toulouse or London Broncos.
Hey, it could be having better for
that, though. Having said that, though, that defeat for Hull Kingston Rovers could really hurt them.
It could.
Because if they lose out to Widnes in the final game of the qualifying eights and results go against them, Hull KR could miss out.
Imagine if Hull KR get relegated again because of this whole system.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a story and a half, isn't it?
Yeah, no one expected them to lose out to London Broncos, did they?
Salford.
Oh, sorry, no, Salford lost to the Broncos.
Yeah.
Can you tell I've had a weekend off?
Yeah, I can. But yeah. It was Toulouse who defeated Hull Kingston Rovers.
It was.
After Hull KR went 19-0 up.
Yes.
What a brilliant performance it was to win 34 points to 23 overall.
I bet your Tim Sheens was filthy after that.
I can imagine him being.
He would not have been happy with that at all, would he?
Definitely not.
So they lose out to Widnes and the results go against them. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, they could even just be automatically relegated, couldn't they?
Because like before Toronto condemned Widnes to relegation, everyone was talking it's going to be Toronto and Toulouse in the £1 million game, but that might not happen.
Well, look at London. London's last game in the eights is against Halifax.
They've blown it wide open, haven't they, London?
What have Halifax got to play for? Now, this is very similar.
They're playing for pride.
This is very similar, to be honest, to the way that London Broncos sort of went for the jugular over there in the Championship as well, over the closing stages of that competition.
Yeah,
absolutely unbelievable some of the form that they've been showing. And as you mentioned, to get that great win against Salford, 11 points to 8, tight as you like, but they're showing that they can defend and they can keep out Super League sides as well, because they did it against Widnes, didn't they?
Who do you think is going to be in the £1 million game and who's going to win it? Will it be in Toronto Sunday night? Well, Sunday night our time, but 5 hours away, so it's a 2 o'clock kickoff.
Yeah, I actually think that Toronto will end up hosting that.
Yeah.
I think that...
Who do you think they're going to play, though? Do you think the top three is going to be as it is?
No, because that would mean that somebody would actually climb into that top three and replace Toronto. And I'm wondering whether Toulouse can do it, you see, because they play against Salford, and I wonder whether they can get the job done in Salford.
Yes, without Hastings Jackson in the team. Is that his name?
Jackson Hastings.
Yeah. I knew it was somewhere along that line.
Well, I thought you was naming somewhere on the South Coast. I was thinking this is a brand new team. What's that? Hastings Jackson. That's a good name.
Okay, Jackson Hastings.
Sorry, he's back this week.
He's back, is he?
So you never know, maybe they'll be box office this week, because he's been the man for them.
Yeah.
He has been the man. I don't know how much they're paying him, but it's worth every penny, isn't it? You know what? I think that Toronto will end up in this £1 million game. I can see Toulouse actually still being in there. I think that London could cause the real upset, though. And if Widnes can get that result against Hull Kingston Rovers, because they've only got a point difference of 5 points.
Yes.
They're in a really vulnerable position at the moment. Yeah. And what would we say? Just as it's working, this system, and we're getting championship clubs replacing. We're ditching it. What a load of rubbish. Do these clubs know what they voted for in the end?
Listen, it's meant to be the future, but how many times have you heard that?
Let's have a referendum. Put it to the fans' vote. Oh, no, we're in that somewhere else before. Let's move on. Move on quick.
Let's talk qualifying eights. Warrington and St. Helens. They knew they were going to be playing each other in the semi-finals to get to Old Trafford. So the last game at the Halliwell Jones for the season for Warrington saw them take on St. Helens, and... St. Helens did a good job on them, didn't they?
They did, yeah. It was quite comprehensive in the end, wasn't it?
That's got to be a worry for Warrington.
Although I'm sure that they'll be happy with certain aspects of the play. When you consider the loss of the main halfback halfway through,
yes,
that was a bit of a worry as well, wasn't it? But I think it's first blood St. Helens, isn't it, really?
It is. They've got the league leader shield in the pocket. They'll be wanting to get the grand final trophy as well. It's been confirmed Benny Barber is going to go to Australia to join North Queensland Cowboys.
Yep.
Saints have accepted a substantial fee. No one knows exactly how much it is. With the fullback, is it Lachlan Coote?
Yeah, he's due to come in, isn't he?
Is he meant to be the replacement?
Yeah, this is again, I don't think that's been fully confirmed yet, but we're just awaiting it to be done, because Lachlan Coote has already said he's coming over to the UK, and we're just waiting for the announcement. Now, they're also signing Fijian as well, aren't they? St Helens for next season. So that's going to be a bit interesting, just what they do.
Let's hear from a happy Justin Holbrook, who caught up with our man Steve Mallon.
It's been an awkward week, to be honest. When you know you're playing the side in 2 weeks again, it's hard. But, yeah, as you said, I think it's just important that we played well. You know, I don't think it mattered who won or lost today for 2 weeks' time. But, you know, just really happy. You know, we played well all year and we just wanted to continue that on. We put ourselves in a good position and we didn't want to let ourselves down today. And we obviously, you know, played well and scored some good tries and defended well. So, yeah, really happy with the performance. We played that many games and, you know, before the Super 8 started, we were already guaranteed a home semi. So, you know, motivation levels can't stay that high every single week. And you know, all the others are jostling for the home semi and Wigan have got that now. And so, you know, the couple of losses, you know, I think we've only had 4 losses in the league all year, so I don't know how that can be a bad thing. But anyway, it's, you know, as I said, it's just good to play well today. Obviously, you know, it's an exciting time of year. We're not there yet, but it's coming. But as we all know, it's only a 1 semi-final system. So, you know, it is great. As I said, the players worked hard all year, so I wanted to still enjoy these last few games that we got this year and you know, did a good job of that today. Yeah, it's great. Yeah, well, I think Matty Lees, Jack Ashworth and James Bentley to play such big minutes too. It was a good opportunity today to leave them out there a lot longer than they're normally out there. So, great for their development and great for our club.
It was Steve Manning who caught up with him, but we decided to edit his questions out.
Yeah, apologies, Steve.
All right, Steve. We will use your questions for Sean Wayne, though.
Yeah, he's the next on our list, isn't he?
They also confirmed, St. Helens, that Matty Smith is leaving the club at the end of the season. Catalan Dragons.
Have they now confirmed that they're signing
him?
Not
confirmed. Because they just said he's gone to a minute.
They just said he's going to another Super League club, didn't they?
Because Josh Drinkwater, who saved the season, is not happy with his treatment in France. So well, it looks like Matty Smith could be going there.
Interesting stuff with Josh Drinkwater. He's now had 2 contracts ripped up in the last 2 seasons, which is unbelievably bad luck as far as he's concerned. And you're right, Adrian, he's been the star man for Catalans.
Turned the season round, didn't he?
He has, yeah. He's been averaging something like 10 points a game as well, which is tremendous.
We've had some exciting rugby league play during these 8, but on Thursday, it was fair to say, Wigan Huddersfield wasn't that great, was it?
No, I've got to be honest here, Adrian.
You fell asleep.
I did. I've said it elsewhere, but I did fall asleep.
My word.
I managed the first 10 minutes and then woke up sometime in the second half and then decided, I've had enough of this.
I think everyone did. Imagine me sat in the gal farm watching that. You'd walk that and go for a beer.
What I want to know from anybody that's listening to this is, was the cowbell still going? Did they still? They didn't send the cowbell to sleep, did they?
I wish to get rid of that.
I thought you'd not be a fan, to be honest.
They should put it in the restructure. That cowbell was not allowed in the ground.
You reckon that it should have got voted out along should with the change to the championship?
Yes, and it should have got. And what else should have got voted out? It's the 2-hour TV match. Vote that out as well.
Stop getting at the. You know what's causing that?
Video ref.
That's video referees. Get rid of the video refs and we're sorted.
I'll just give him 1 minute to look at it.
Well, that might not be long enough. We might not even have it on video at that stage.
Yeah, get rid of that cowbell and get rid of the 2-hour TV game. I'll be happy with that.
I was just about to say, would you have your lot then? Would you be
yes,
a really happy
I'll
bunny?
Be happy then.
Right, okay.
The future looks bright.
Jackson Rugby League.
Without the cowbell and the TV match lasting 2 hours.
Bring a team in from Hastings as well and Adrian's happy.
Exactly. Right, let's hear from Steve Mallon, who did catch up with Sean Wayne after that win against Huddersfield.
Well, Sean, job done on a Thursday in grand final conditions.
Yeah, it was wet, there's no question about that, but yeah, happy with the way we concentrated. We lost our way midway through the game a little bit with our concentration, but overall it was one of them games where we just had to get 2 points and they did that.
Because at opening 15-20 minutes you were trying to play as it were open rugby, wasn't you?
Yeah.
Then again, I suppose it comes to a stage where you've got to play to the conditions.
Yeah, we played a bit. I was disappointed that we stopped playing a bit when we made our changes, but that's something we've worked on this week and the players recognise that we can't have that dip. in our players. So we know what we need to work on. We know what the challenge is on Friday, and we know we have an even bigger challenge the week after.
And that game, when they got to 7-6, perhaps years gone by, the bottle goes, but they seem to step up again, didn't they?
Yeah, we did some good things. We did some good things when it really mattered. We had a try disallowed, which was tough. But I think the scoreline in the end was, I think it was right for the game. I think we had that many points in front, and but credit to them, they had some energy, and we did some good things. But the one thing, the main thing, without a shadow of a doubt, was getting 2 points, and we did that.
You forecast the weather for the game beforehand, so do you know? So from a Real FC point of view, they're basically totally different from yourself. You're going for a record win in 7 from 7 in the final qualifiers, and they can't buy a win either before that and now. So what are you expecting from them?
Well, they weren't that far off against Catalan, and that could have easily gone a different way, that game. And Catalan scored some late tries. So I liked how Wolves played. They played a lot. They passed the ball a lot, and they seem to have a carefree attitude, so I'm expecting them to come. It's their last game, and I think they'll want to have a good pre-season, and they'd love to do it on the back of a decent win. So I'm going to be showing them every respect. I like how they coached. I like the players they've got. They've still got a very, very strong team out, so they're going to get the respect they deserve. It's a big one for us. It's our last game at home with these eights, and our families are going to be in our changing room, so it's we've got a bit of disruption there, but it's good disruption, because our family's been good. So we just need to make sure when it's game on, we concentrate on what we need to do.
And you played them in Oz this season, and you played them up there. So I suppose it's fitting with your last Super League game as such, that you've got them at home in your last game, and there's a great rivalry between the clubs as well.
Yeah, a lot of rivalry, no question, but a lot of respect. I like what they do with the kids. They get the kids through. They're very, very similar to us. Regarding the thoughts on youth progression, and so I like the coaches. I like how they work. I like how they play. I like the quality play they get, and so any win against this mob is a good one. And travelling all that way to Wollongong, that was a very, very important game for me. I didn't want to travel that way and get that loss. So I like the way we played, and it ended up being a fantastic trip. So a lot of respect for the club, and every win's earned against this team.
Keeping you up to date with everything Rugby League. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
Funny, Sean Wayne should mention that trip to Wollongong in Australia at the start of the season against Hull FC.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's been announced recently that they could be playing Catalans in Barcelona next season.
That'll be totally rubbish, though, won't it?
In the new camp.
If they go to the new camp, it's what, 105,000?
Yes.
105,000 people. 105,000 empty seats. Jeez.
I went there in 2009 when Warrington played them in the Olympic Stadium.
Oh, well, I mean, at least the Olympic Stadium is a bit more compact.
Yeah, a bit more compact.
It?
They had 18,000 there.
And that's a fair crowd. Probably about 20% attendance, that, yeah. I think, from the ground. But you wouldn't even be touching the sides there at the new camp. Although, having said that, right next door to the new camp, there is a stadium which the reserve team plays on. And that fits about 15,000 in, so maybe that's the one that they should go and play the game at.
Yeah, without a doubt. So it'd be interesting to see whether that does happen. Catalans, the reason it's come about because the Catalans paraded the Champs Cup in front of all the Barcelona fans.
Did you see that video?
I did.
You know what it reminded me of?
What?
There's a team near Lee called Atherton Colliery.
Okay, right, all right.
And they won their league 2 seasons ago in record-breaking style.
Okay.
And came and paraded their trophy. They won a cup as well, so it was like a double. They came and paraded it at half-time in a league game, and all the Lee fans were like, who's this mob? We don't know.
Sorry,
who this
I can imagine the Barcelona fans would have been like that.
Yeah, I can. So what everybody's saying, it's great exposure, and I suppose it is, but it's either like, Lionel Messi himself was going running around with the cup, was it?
Like I said, I was there in 2009. 18,000 were at the game for that Warrington Catalans clash. Not sure how many people were actually from Barcelona in the stadium, though.
Why has it took 10 years to take a game over the border
again? I don't
know. I mean, that's just odd, isn't it?
Bizarre.
Yeah, I mean, this just sums up rugby league expanding its borders, doesn't it? Yes. It's just so random. I mean, yeah. we've seen a test match played in Denver in front of a handful of spectators. I mean, okay, we were told there was, what, 20, 22,000 there, something like that. Nobody's seen any cash from it yet, and it's just strange, isn't it?
Keeping you up to date with everything Rugby League. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
Anyway, forget about Barcelona. That can happen next year, can't it?
Yeah. Again, strange rugby league policies for going and expanding our game.
Let's go back to the heartland, shall we? We know where Warrington Fate is going to be. They want to get to Old Trafford. They're going to have to beat St Helens. They lost out 34-14. So like you said, it's round one to St Helens. But I'm sure the Wolves will go to Landry Park, knowing that they're capable of getting the job done.
Well, I mean, they ran them so close a few weeks ago, didn't they, there? Yeah. Was it just a last-minute goal from
something like
Richardson?
That, wasn't it? Yeah.
So I think they'll fancy it.
So our man Steve Manning, been very busy for us on this podcast, hasn't he?
Thanks
very much, Steve. And he caught up with Steve Ratchford.
Caught up with him as well. We spoke to Stefan first.
Is that a new signing?
It is, yeah.
Stefan Ratchford.
Well, Steph, before we talk about the game coming against Wakefield, the last one of these Super 8 qualifiers, the last one ever of the Super 8 qualifiers, the game against St Helens, a lot of people were saying that it didn't mean anything, but watching that game on the pitch, it looked, and I suppose from a player point of view, it meant everything.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think it was, a lot of people said, oh, it's a semi-final rehearsal and all that sort of stuff, and yeah, I suppose there was a bit of an element about that, but you know, as a club and as a squad, as a team, you know, we want to go out there and win every game we can, and you know, regardless of people saying it's, you know, a meaningless, pointless game or it's a semi-final dress rehearsal, where you know, we go out there to win the game every week, and like I say, I think, you know, certainly the first 10-15 minutes certainly showed the intent from both sides.
I was going to say that it got a bit fractious at times. I mean, all right, I know a lot of it were handbags, but there was a lot of endeavour out there when the clashes clashed.
Yeah, there always is. You know, it's, you know, Warrington Saints, it's the local derby. There's, you know, all the bragging rights and all that sort of stuff at stake. But yeah, like you said, there was a few handbags. There was, you know, I don't think there was much in it. It was a bit more accidental and clumsy than anything. But you know, it always happens. I'm sure if one of our players would have gone into their half back like that, I'm sure they would have been upset and gone in as well. So yeah, like I said, there weren't much in it, but you know, regardless of what's at stake, it was you know, it's a Warrington Saints derby, and you know, they tend to be like that. It's two teams out there who want to win the game, and you know, they're passionate about winning, and they want to do all they can. They want to protect each other and do all they can to get the win. So you know, we've not, at this moment in time, we've not spoke about, oh well, they did this to such a player or they did that to such a player. Like I say, from, you know, from my point of view, it was more clumsy and accidental than anything, but you know, whenever anything happens like that, it's, you know, both teams tend to fly in and all that sort of stuff. So you know, regardless of what happened at the weekend, whether, you know, you want to say there's bad blood or not, it's, you know, in 2 weeks time, it's semi-final time, it's Warrington Saints, mm-hmm. in a, you know, it's derby day, and you know, there's a spot at Old Trafford up for grabs, so I'm sure there'll be a, you know, a lot of passion and a lot of, you know, fire in that game as well.
The game itself in the second half, they had that purple patch when they showed why they are where they are. But from a Warrington Wolves point of view, those late tries gives you that momentum as such going into that game that you can score them, and you showed that you've got that positivity going into this game, didn't you?
Yeah, you know, we look back at the game and at the weekend, and you know, those patches we weren't happy with, and I'm sure Saints looking at the game, there'll be patches they weren't happy with, and there'll be patches they was really happy with. Like you said, they had a bit of a purple patch in that middle bit, but yeah, I'm sure in 2 weeks' time it'll be a totally different game. You know, not looking for excuses. You know, we weren't good enough at the weekend. It's as simple as that. But you know, when you lose both your halfbacks in, you know, the first 20 minutes, and you got second Rory, who was, you know, had a bit of a niggle, but we had no interchange to swap for him. And, you know, like I said, we can look for excuses. And yeah, there was a couple of things that maybe hindered us, but you know, at the end of the day, some of the stuff we dished up weren't good enough, and our performance at the weekend weren't good enough to win that game. So I say we've accepted that now. We've looked where we've gone wrong. We know what we've got to improve on, and you know, we get out there, and you know, it's all about putting in a good performance at Wakefield on Friday and trying to, you know, right a few wrongs from last week, and hopefully building some momentum to take into the semi-final.
And you mentioned Wakefield, and it's important, I think, perhaps, that you do get the momentum and can get that 2 points, because you don't want to go in to a semi-final on a, you know, three losses. But they're an exciting side, aren't they? You know, they've got a tough pack, great set of backs, and they're in fifth place and probably going to stay there.
Yeah, they're a quality side. Like you said, they're a big physical side. Their half-backs are quality. You get them around the field, you know, very well. Their outside backs are tremendous. I think, you know, both wingers are unbelievable finishers. I think Bill Tupu's been absolutely outstanding this year, and you know, he'll probably be up there for Man of Steel nominees, I would have imagined, or not far off anyway. So yeah, there's a lot of threat across the park, you know, and they always play, you know, a good attacking style. You know, they like to shift the ball side to side when, you know, in a way when, you know, they're trying to push up the league table. But you know, they've kind of got nothing to play for this week. Like I said, they can't make the top four, they probably can't drop any lower, so I'm sure they're going to come and, you know, nothing to lose, and they're going to be attacking from all sorts of areas and throwing the ball around as much as they can, which, you know, in a way, if they do, will probably be a good thing for us. You know, Saints like to shift the ball around, and you know, it'll be like I say, it's going to be a real good test for us at the weekend. We, you know, we went there at the beginning, early on in the year, and the game we had there was an unbelievable game. I think we managed to come away with a 2-point win in the end. So yeah, with the way Wakefield play, like I say, we know we've got a few things to fix up from the weekend, and you know, we're going to get tested, you know, a lot against Wakefield on Friday night, which, like I said, if we can, you know, sort the stuff out from last weekend and come away with a good victory there, then, you know, it's going to put us in good stead for the following week.
I don't like it when players say they've got nothing to play for. They're playing for pride.
Of course, yeah. I'm playing for a wage packet as
well. A contract. Do you want to end the season on a win?
Well, he's finished on a high, hasn't he? He's been nominated. Was it Players Player at Warrington?
Yes.
So he's had a great season, hasn't he?
I'll say one thing about Warrington, though. They will go into that game against St Helens in the playoff. Battle hardened, won't they? They've had three tough games. They would have.
They have, yeah. Yeah.
You know, I mean, Wigan away, Saints at home, Wakefield away.
It's kind of interesting as well, the fact that he's experimented with his lineup a little bit, isn't it?
It is. But I don't think they'll beat Saints anyway. I think you're right. It's going to be Saints-Wigan final. But yeah, I'm sure Castleford will have a say on matters as well.
I hope Cass do, because I mean, they're playing some scintillating stuff at the minute. I mean, Greg Eden scored 4 tries last week and looks odds on to get over and help them further on, doesn't he?
He does. With all the talk of Barcelona, you went to the Barcelona of the North.
I did, yeah.
You went to Doncaster.
What a great game that was as well. Yeah, Doncaster against Workington. And like we've already heard, Justin Albrook allude to, they'll play each other again this coming weekend. I caught up with Richard Horn, and this is our conversation. We'll leave the last word of our show to him.
Well, Richard Horn, 10 wins on the bounce.
It was one of them games where people were saying it's a nothing game in a way, but we didn't approach it like that. You know, you come into them games with that sort of mindset, and things start going wrong for you. So we wanted to, again, just keep the momentum we've been playing with and the intensity we've been playing with, and yeah, we got the job done.
You said last week about maybe not being as comprehensive, ball in hand. Was that any improvement for you today?
Yeah, they scored some great tries, you know, and it was more or less just go out there and play what you see, play with your eyes up, shape up. And you know, our Haas came up with some really good decisions and some really good passes on the edge, and our edges finished them.
I know we'd spoken about Matty Beharrell and I thought he showed how much he brings to your team today.
Yeah, he organises really well. You know, I've got some big decisions probably in the Haas to make. You know, John Howland's been great for us all year. Liam's come in, had a really good game today. If he's available, you know, it's an option for me. So yeah, I've got a bit of an headache on that one, but I'd like to. It's good to have that rather than having no halves.
Yeah, they're great decisions to have, though.
Yeah,
aren't
they're outstanding. Yeah, outstanding.
It's very rare in a rugby league calendar you get to play the same opposition week after week. Can you take anything from that game moving forward? Because they had a changed lineup.
Yeah,
you had a changed lineup.
Yeah, you know, they had boys missing who'd start in their starting 13. So for us, it was just like play what's in front of you. Get the 2 points, keep that momentum. You know, they've got to go back on that bus today, long journey, you know, kicking stones a little bit, and you know, we're still riding this wave on, and it's knockout rugby next week, so everything can change. I think the form, rather, you know, we're 10 on the bounce, and I don't think that's going to come into it, you know. It's going to be, I'm sure Leon will get him up, and I know he'll have him bouncing for next week, and I'm sure they'll come out the blocks a lot quicker than what they came out today.
Could be one heck of an atmosphere down here next week.
Well, hopefully, yeah, that's what we want. That's what we're trying to generate. And, and hopefully we can get the job done and show some entertaining rugby.
You're now sort of 2 years into this plan, if you like, from stepping in. What do you know now that you didn't know 2 years ago?
Probably more about managing the players than, you can coach them skills and techniques, but especially with these boys who work hard all day for 9-to-5 shifts and then have to come to training and you're expecting them to be at it. I've got better at reading on what I can get out of them within the sessions and the direction we can go down with training and it's been good. You know, the fresh, they look fresh. I thought, like I say, the only time they looked tired was towards the back end when we ran out of rotation, really, due to a couple of knocks. And I didn't want to put them back out there, so some boys played minutes that they'd never played before for a good 3 or 4 years. So it's they'll benefit from that. But we'll just have to have a look at them knocks that we've got and see if they're available for next week.
It doesn't look too serious though on any of them, does it? Or is it too early to
say? No, Jack Logan's probably the only one that, that's probably a doubt. The rest of them are all just like collision injuries and just seized up a little bit. So yeah, he's the only one that we've got probably the doubt.
And it's a shame because, like, I know you said and Lee Radford said about him coming down here, trying to build that confidence, trying to get back in. He was looking likely, wasn't he?
He was probably on for man of the match if he didn't go off. And I thought he had a really good performance, a solid performance, carried strong, finished his tries really well. I'm gutted for him because he's picked up a couple of knocks throughout his career, you know. And I just thought this one's just one of them where we can shrug it off and be right to go on for Sunday.
It's always a really unfair question to ask, but who did you pick out as your guys who stood out in the coach's eyes?
Today, I thought Ross Osborne, Jason Maranka, they did some really big minutes in the middle. Liam and Matty came up with some really good touches and assisted in some really good tries. So, there's quite a few I could mention. I thought backfield were really good. You know, they spelled out middle, they carried out yardage and got our sets going. I think Ross and Maranka need a special mention for the minutes they had to do with us going down on the bench.
I'm also liking Sanderson at fullback. I mean, he looks like another Craig Hall.
Yeah, he's similar build, similar. He's got grit. He knows the game. He's quick. He's just one of them where he's just growing confidence. All the games he's been down here, you know, he's got stronger and stronger, and hopefully he can carry on doing that and someday see him in Super League. So, but for us at the moment, he's doing a great job.